Morning, everyone. Yeah, been pregnant for a while. I was actually supposed to share like 3 weeks ago, I think it was, but circumstances decided not. And I think it was part of the Lord, actually, that it's now, that is today. So I'm quite excited. And I think that's actually the biggest thing about today is the excitement I have, the joy that the Lord has put in my heart just to share with you guys today. Because, yeah, I've been through a lot. My name is Nick, by the way. I should actually introduce myself. I've got a lot of hair, a lot more than Bassy. So forgive me if I push it to the back. It will go soon. Yeah, I'm a student. I study a lot, spend a lot of time studying. And I've been part of this church for quite a while. Had to go through a lot. But essentially, what I want you guys to know about me is that I'm very much the same as most of you. I'm just a saint. I'm not an elder. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon or a comm leader or anything like that. I'm simply a saint. And the beautiful thing is that we were all once alien to God. I was alien to God. I didn't have salvation. I didn't have that grace that the Lord was offering me until I had that day when I accepted it. And now I'm working out what it means to be saved. And I'm living out, hopefully, I mean, making many mistakes. Like, I'm an example of a lot of mistakes, but I'm figuring this thing out. And the Lord is with me, and I've grown to realize how much He's with me. There's lots I can share, but I want to be to the point today that he's definitely with me, and if that's an example, He's with you guys as well. So what I do want to share is definitely something from the Lord, but something that He's been working in me as well. It's part of my testimony. It's hopefully going to highlight something quite significant that I feel is for us. If you'd have asked me to share on what I'm going to share, which I'll reveal now, it's quite ironic because I probably would have had like a reaction like this. That's pretty mundane, you know, that's pretty usual. I think we all know quite a lot about this topic. And it's like, I want the complicated things, you know, the juicy things. And it was actually another mistake of mine, another flaw of me to think that way, because the Lord had to tremendously shift my perspective on this topic. And it's amazing because that will hopefully happen for all of us if it hasn't happened already. So I'm very excited to be able to share this. So on this thing about us all probably knowing it, I think that we have good head knowledge of it, but we might have a lack in heart knowledge. And it was mentioned earlier in the prayer meeting, which I encourage you guys to come to, because it is incredible how much the prayer meeting reflects what's about to happen. It's so prophetic. The thing that challenged me was that my heart knowledge was so dry, and the heart experience and the connection with God was dry, and it was lacking. And as much as the Bible is there to build our head knowledge, God is after our hearts, because in a way, our hearts are connected to our spirits. And our spirits are what are going to go on to eternity. The two are connected but disconnected, so try and bear with me. But yeah, the Lord had to really prepare the soil of my heart. He really had to, over time, and show much patience with me to come to a place where He could pour His Spirit and He could pour this thing that I want to talk about into me. Because if it was dry ground and you take water and you pour it over, it's just going to be, it's going to reflect, it's going to bounce off, it's going to flow elsewhere, everywhere but within the ground. It's everywhere but within the soil, everywhere but within my heart, and it would not penetrate and do anything and yield any growth. So another reason why I'm excited to share, because I feel like it's growing. So if I can actually take a moment just to pray for us again. So if we can close our eyes. Lord, we don't do this day, this thing, this time without You. We are very aware that You are with us right now, Lord. You sent Your Holy Spirit to be with us and to comfort us. And You're in this room right now. You're in our hearts right now, Lord. And we say, have Your way. We say, have Your way, Lord. You've been preparing our hearts right now. Even up to this point, You've been preparing our hearts, Lord. And I say in faith, Lord, that our hearts are ready to receive, Lord. We are ready to receive from You and for You to move powerfully in us, significantly in us, Lord. And we're excited to see more of Your image be bared within us, Lord God. So take us from glory to glory. Amen. So that's the intro. So to clarify what I'm going to be speaking on, and you probably have a good idea, it's God's love. And it's not complicated. And be careful, it's also not mundane. It's not common. It's very important. It's very important. And specifically, this thing of first love, what is the first love that gets mentioned only once in the Bible? But what is that? And how important is that? And where should that be in our life? And that's what I kind of want to go into today. But before going into it, I had this saying that I don't know why, it just came to me while I was preparing. And it's the one that we all know well. It's not from the Bible, but it says, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And if you think about it, you're like, yeah, absence from a holiday makes my heart grow fonder of a holiday. Sure. But there's, if you really think about it, you can realize that absence from God makes your heart grow fonder from God. And it's a good type of absence, that particular absence I'm referring to. And you can change that and take that word and say time away from God is what will grow your heart fonder of him. Or even truth will grow your heart fonder of him. Even hardship or trials, they can cause your heart to grow fonder of the Lord, draw near to God. But at the same time, it has this opposite side to the coin where you can also grow colder because of hardships, because of trials, because of tests. It can cause you to become stagnant and calloused and hardened to God, who is tender. And first want to put my hand up for that. But moving on from that, I want to look at what this first love is. And it's really helpful to, I did actually prepare some scriptures, so there will be not sayings only, there will be scriptures. But the first one was about God's love, not so much the first love, because it's really important to start there. And it's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. I'm not sure if it's going to go up, but I have it here. And we know it well. It's the one that says love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And I'd like to say it's a good thing to know these. Did it go up? It's okay. You heard it from me. Oh, there it is now. Do you want to soak in that for a moment? Yeah. Love is patient. Love is kind. And I'm really thankful for that scripture, because if it wasn't given to us in the Bible, I wouldn't have no way of how to, you know, knowing how to describe what love is. And it's that, again, that head knowledge that we need. We need the word to inspire us and help us shape our view and lens of God to understand him. But then it's like, okay, go from your head to your heart. Where is it taking root? Is it taking root cognizantly, or is it taking root in the depths of your heart? And then what is first love? Because if that's love and that's who God is, what is first love? And I don't want to over-spiritualize it and make it a whole topic, but I do want to stress the fact that it's so significant, realizing the difference and the importance in what it means to have first love. So I think we can all agree that we live for something. Fundamentally, we live for something. By design, we live for something. We glorify something. We worship something. Whether we know what it is or we don't. And I think sometimes we can see it clearly. It can be something that continues throughout our day, for example. It's like the thing you wake up, you work on that the entire day. Or it can be sporadic as well. It can come and go. There can be moments where you aren't thinking about it, but it comes back. And that actually makes it hard to recognize the thing that you're serving. Especially, like I've seen that in my life. It'll hop. It'll show its face and then it'll hide. And then show its face and it's so difficult to recognize. And that's where you really need the Spirit. It's essentially something that's on the throne of your heart. It's just the thing that consumes you. And by design, we were made to worship something. So the way I come to understand what first love is very much through worship. And it's very much through your first fruits that you give to something. When you wake up in the day, what are you worshiping first? What are you giving yourself to? And I don't know if you're noticing this in my voice or what I'm saying, but naturally, we have this spiritual priority to worship something. By design, we're naturally going to worship something. And then I'm like, wow, this is insane, because what I'm going to share in Scripture is God has designed us this way, but he's also prepared us for our natural inclination to worship something, to give us direction. So we'll get there. But I want to talk about this idea of first love, where the one reference is, which is in Revelations 2. And he's Paul speaking to a whole bunch of churches, and one of them is loveless, and this is that one. And it says, I know you're enduring patiently. And it talks about how they're doing everything right. They're getting all these things correct, which is amazing. And yet it says, and bearing up my name for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. And that was shared similarly in the prayer meeting, which is so cool. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the first love, or the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember where you had your first love, what that looked like. And you've fallen from there. Remember where you ought to be. Repent, it says, and do the work you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. It's a heavy, it's not quite a loving encouragement, but in that rebuke, we see of the importance of what first love can do and the lack of it, and how we should position ourselves or posture ourselves, Jeff Kidwell's favorite word, posture ourselves to have our first love be of the utmost importance. This is the part where I share a bit of my testimony and what's been happening recently. And about 6 weeks ago, or 7 weeks ago, I mentioned I'm a student, so I study a lot, and I saw how hectic this semester was going to be. And I had to really sit down with my calendar and prepare and think like ahead. And I was like, wow, there's lots of meetings, there's lots of things to attend as well with church, I want to be faithful. And then I was like, I've done this before. I've been faithful before. Something doesn't feel right to just go ahead, especially given the fact that I'm now looking ahead and seeing what's coming, that I must just be faithful. I can't. And then I was reminded of that scripture in Romans 14, 23. I didn't give it to you guys, so don't stress. But it's, and I'll paraphrase, it's about how we need to do everything in faith. And so without it, actually, it says it's sin. And so then I was like, I need to be faithful, and I need to have faith. So Lord, I'm going to go about these next 6 weeks asking you for faithfulness and for faith. And so I had this plan. I laid out this plan, this idea. Hey, man makes his plans. And I had these expectations of what was going to happen and how I was going to come out of it and be filled with faith. And I was going to see wonders and see healings. And it was all good. And I want to say that scripture is so important to have faith. I don't discount that whatsoever. But the Lord had other plans, and he had other ideas, and he had other steps that he wanted me to take. And it's quite ironic. It's funny. Hey, he's like, he does that. He starts you somewhere, knowing where you're going to go, and you're like, I'll just follow you. And so long as you follow him, so long as you hold it lightly, he can direct you elsewhere, and it will be good. And that's what happened. That's what happened. So what I was expecting didn't end up coming about, but that's okay, because what the Lord actually did was he addressed this idea of first love in me. And this idea of worrying about other things, making them the higher priority than him in my love, my life. And through that season, another mistake I made was I neglected that first love. And I say that before you guys because it's the honest truth. And I'm not here to be perfect. I am just a saint learning how to live out what it means to be saved. But I did neglect that first love. And as per that scripture in Revelations, we are to repent. So repentance followed. I think that I want to honor the Lord because I didn't sit there alone and missing my first love the whole time. There were moments where the Lord came and I would literally I'd be sitting there in my room and I wouldn't even say a word. I would just sit down after waking up and the Spirit would just come on me and I'd be undone and I'd be crying like a child. Not because I had fancy words and not because I prepped something the night before. I just came and the Lord did everything. He did it all. And times like that, another time was I repeated the same three words over, bless the Lord, at one of the worship times. And I've never experienced the Lord's presence in that way. And I would have never have thought that was how you enter his presence. And I'm not saying that's the recipe, but it's like, let's bring down the levels of complexities and standards and get back to the first love, get back to coming to God's heart. And calling upon him to come to your heart, and he will. And I mentioned this whole idea of this natural priority, and there is a priority that I was missing. There was a priority I was missing about that love. And we see that priority in Scripture, in the Bible, so not a saying. This one is legit. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. It's the one about the 10 virgins, the parable. That's next. That's Matthew 25. Thank goodness for notes. But this scripture says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. This is the command. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, all of it, and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. But there it is. There, plain and simple, is the greatest command. And the word says, God delights in our obedience, paraphrase, more than our sacrifice. So there's a command. Obedience should follow. That is the greatest thing. And so there's your priority. There's that. That's it. And that's from where all things will flow, from your spiritual gifts to going out and partnering with the Great Commission, the call, growing in church, growing in likeness to God. All of those things will follow so long as that priority is kept. So amen. And then there's also another common saying, which we all know, and it's the one of love God, love people. And that's what that scripture was pretty much saying, love God, love people. But in light of it, it's kind of like, if that's the first priority and then there's the second, it should kind of be love God, love God, love people. Do you get what I mean? There is that importance that we need to hold so highly. And if love is that important, as the scripture clearly says, we need to make provision for this love. And I read an awesome scripture in Psalm 27 recently in my quiet time. And if you haven't read Psalms, read it all. And if you haven't read 27, definitely read that as well if you want to start somewhere. But that encouraged me heavily because it talks about, like, it shows David's intimacy and how much he relied on the Lord and how sure he was of God's goodness in his life and how sure he would see that goodness come to pass. And yeah, the scripture, Psalms 27:14, is the one that says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. And then again it repeats, yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. And that's very much part of my testimony. And that's, I think, for all of us. We'll be tested in our patience for the Lord. But be courageous, be brave to be patient for him. Be brave in waiting for him. And that patience we also see in Matthew 25, 1-13, with the parable of the 10 virgins. And it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. And we're talking about the kingdom of heaven here, which goes back to what Mornay said last week. And it says, who took their lamps and went to the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. They were prepared. But at midnight was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, trimming to make sure that the light is bright, that it shines, and it burns. And then it says, but at midnight, oh no, I read that, trim their lamps. Okay, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going out to buy, the bridegroom came. We don't know their day. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. That's crazy. It can be 1 p.m. when the hour, and you can be sitting at 12, and you won't know. But those five, those wise five, were there when it mattered, and they were patient, they waited, and they came prepared, and they brought a provision of oil, a provision of their love, ensuring that their love for God was there, ready, always first, always. I don't think, maybe they had incense, maybe they had myrrh, but they left that at home because it wasn't more as important as the oil that needed to be burning for Christ the day he came. And what's also quite interesting about that scripture is that the ones with excess oil ask the ones with little oil, share with us, we need. And sharing's good, right? Generosity is great. But actually, what that scripture is showing us is that they couldn't share. There wouldn't be enough. And my conviction, I want to say my conviction can't be your conviction. I can't rely on your love. I can't rely on your faithfulness. I can't rely on your steadfastness to get into heaven. That is something I will have to walk out. That is something that I will have to seek the Lord on, because I'll be asked one day, what is it that you did with the free gift that was offered to you of salvation? And God's hope is that we all make it one day. God's hope is that we all complete our race well. But we cannot do so if we don't make provision or space or room to love God as He has loved us. We can't. And I can't emphasize this enough, that it is by His grace and it is by the power of His Holy Spirit. It is not something we can get right. There's no other words to describe that, but it is not something we can get right by ourselves. We need to get that. We need to get that. So I hope that makes sense. I hope that that priority has suddenly shifted and it's become, it's burning in your heart, even as I end now. And I actually want to end with three things, just to come in for a landing, which is something I've always wanted to say. The three things are, as we behold our first love, and as we start to see God loving us and how much patience He has for us and how much time and mercy He has for us, and I actually want to put myself there and use the word I, as He has so much love for me, as He puts me first, as He comes to me and meets me every day, as He waits on me, He does that for everyone else. He does that for Chief. He does that for Joey. He does that for you and you and you and you and you and you and you. That same love He has for me, He has for you. And that's incredible, but the thing the Lord wanted me to say on that was that He, in doing that for everyone else, is setting an example for us to follow, to do that for everyone else. So love God and then love people as He is loving people. He's setting the standard. He's setting the standard. So let us follow the example He's setting for us. And the second thing is something that God has taught me and that I want to kind of caution you guys with, and not to fall in the misunderstanding and the misordering of the priorities, is something that comes from another saying, and that was also part of my testimony. Another saying is that we use is that young Christians who come into the faith that are newly saved, like Ntuliso that I met earlier, who's just been saved today, that you start off with milk, and you start off with things that are easily digestible. And then you go on to consume tougher things. The Lord tests you, and He grows you, and He builds you. But the mistake that I made was that I grouped God's love and my love towards Him as something that was more milk and more in the beginning. And now as I mature, I must focus on these other things, and I must worry about faith, and I must concern myself with righteousness and holiness. But I grouped it there, and I moved on, and I didn't hold it importantly, as the word says to do so. And I reduce the importance of it, and I'm still maturing, and part of my maturing is going back to milk, and the Lord is working, and He's having His way. But God's love is first and foremost, and I want to say that is the first and foremost, the foundational, the thing that is going to be eternal, the eternal thing. It's not milk. It should never spoil. It should never go off or become old. So, can we keep coming back to that? Can we keep coming back to that? That's a hard thing to ask, but can we? And then thirdly, the word says, you have not because you ask not. And I think we're all asking God for something. We're all asking Him for things, and sometimes it's not the right thing that we're asking for. But He's gracious. He really is gracious. And I believe that He will answer those prayers and those desires of our hearts if it's in His will. And in His timing as well, because His timing is perfect. He's really perfect. But I urge you to keep the greatest command, and that if there's anything you take away, that it is the greatest command that should be kept throughout your life, so that we don't end up like that church in Revelation. And that church, I want to say, is made up of people. And church is just a description, a collection of people. It's the people that lust their love, and we don't want to end up like loveless people. So in closing, I mentioned absence, and it's hard to grow fond towards something that you're absent from, whom you've never met, whom you do not know. There's a slim chance you grow closer to that. And the Lord knows us much more than we even know ourselves. Much more. And He desires that absence, that bridge, to be removed, so that we can have relationship with God once again, just as Adam and Eve had relationship before sin came into the world. Closeness, a purity of heart, a righteousness, a desire, all of these things. That is what the Lord wants for all of us. And he wants us to keep our first love. He wants us to keep our first love. So, yeah, I think that there's an opportunity today. And it's actually already gone out. And if you feel that there's an absence between you and God, that there's a bridge that you are not comfortable with, that you feel the Spirit is stirring in you today to address and to deal with and go towards, I want to say that the Spirit does it, but you need to be part of it. You need to bring yourself. You need to say, yes, Lord, you're softening my heart. You're preparing the soil of my heart for such a time as this, for me to draw closer to you, for me to look upon you with the love that you have for me as well. And may we respond to him always. Do it in us, Lord. Do it in us. Do it in me, God. Do it in I. Before I worry about loving people, I say that delicately, because we got to love God and love God and love people. Does that make sense? So, yeah, that's what I wanted to share with you guys. So I think, Joey, can I give it back to you for you to close? Or Chief.
Thank you, Nick.